chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word. And Lord, as we find here, Lord, that we might be a glorious church. And Lord, we give you praise tonight for your word. Lord, to speak to our hearts, and we give you all the glory. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I'm going to make it through. A glorious church is made up of consecrated members, members that are sanctified, members that are set apart, members that are clean, members that want to see righteousness in their life, not anything else. Christians ought to have a care for the lost, a care for the outcast. The church is where the word is preached, and claim the promises of God in a church. And I'm praising God for this church, because I believe this church is one who cares for the lost, cheers the downcast, is always preaching the word and teaching the word and claiming the promises that are ours in Christ Jesus here. To many, they regard the church as a place that they can just come at their convenience. I said years ago, to many people, a church is where they're hatched, they're matched, and they're dispatched. And I believe that. Some people only come when they're born and given to a baby dedication, or they're married, or they're buried. So, you know, we need to think about the church as a place where we come and dedicate our lives to God, and we listen to his word, and we live for God. You see, somebody wrote a poem. I want to read it. It says, "Each time I pass a church, I stop to make a visit, so that when I am carried in, the Lord won't say, 'Who is it?'" And, you know, a lot of people think that way. They just come to church at their convenience, and so that God will see them coming, and that they'll have, when they die, God will let them in heaven, they feel like. And some believe they're dedicated if they go 3 times a year. And I found another little poem like this. "Some go to church to take a walk. Some go to church to laugh and talk. Some go there to meet a friend, and some go there their time to spend. Some go there to doze and nod, and some go to worship God." Well, folks, that's the way some of us are, and you'll find that in our churches. But real, dedicated, consecrated Christians are unconditionally at their church. One put it this way. A consecrated Christian in a glorious church is like signing your name to a blank sheet of paper and say, "God, you fill in all the details that you want me to do." And let God actually work in their life, you know. The service of the Lord, or the service of Christ, is a part of our life, where it's part of the business of our life. And you find that in the New Testament church. The will of Christ is done in a glorious church. The laws of our life we live by, the glorious church presents the gospel of Jesus Christ. The presence of God is a joy in our life. It's not a burden to go to church in a glorified church. And the glory of Christ is presented as a reward in our crown, and we see the lost saved in a glorified church. That's our desire. Now you think about it. Are you a consecrated Christian? You're a consecrated Christian. You're looking across this church tonight, I see so many that could be here tonight that are not here. Now, I understand that if the older people are in the, up in the years have a hard time driving at night, and I understand why some of them don't come. But I also see so many that are young and young adults that have not really committed their lives to Christ. They're not consecrated to Christ. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. A glorious church, I believe, maintains a consecrated membership working for the glory of God, that we might live our life pure and clean for God. And then a glorious church is also a church that prays. And I thank God for this church. Acts 4:31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Now, folks, I believe a glorious church is a church where they pray together and they go out and speak the word with boldness. Now, that means they went everywhere in the power of prayer. The Bible tells us the place was shaken. I thought that was really good as I was reading that. I heard the thunder. And we sing about the heard the thunder, lightning, heard it roll. And I was thinking, man, we've heard that this evening. The Lord is everywhere. Amen. And when a church is a praying church, it will also be a church that praises God and gives him glory in their lives. And I believe a praying church is also one that produces Christianity and people come to God. And also a praying church is one that preaches the word, and the word is not ashamed of in a praying church. That's a glorious church. That's a glorious consecrated church. And I believe with all my heart we have a consecrated church, a glorious church here. And a glorious church will continually be with missionary zeal. We'll have a missionary zeal to reach people. I ask ourselves this question: why do we exist? You see, why do we do this? Why do we come to church? Well, the world is lost, and man's need in the world is all the same. They're without Christ. It says, "For death has passed upon all men, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Man is in a lost condition, a lost state, as I read this morning. A man is lost without hope. And a glorified church, a glorious church, will one that will constantly, I believe, reach out to lost people and recognize that there is a great importance in the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Listen, I want you to go into all the world." Why? And he simply says, "Because, for God so loved the world." You see, salvation is not just for America. Salvation is not just for China. Salvation is not just for Africa. Salvation is for the whole world. Anyone, whosoever comes, shall be saved. You see, God says, "I want the whole world to be saved. Not just our little town, not just our little community, but everywhere." You see, all men must stand before God and give an account one day. All men, they'll give an account. And the whole world needs the gospel to be presented to them, so that when they stand before God, they can give an account that, "Lord, we have heard the gospel. We were saved." Man, I just thank God so much for that. And then we have a direct command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to take the gospel to the whole world. Okay. I couldn't hear it for all the speaking. Well, let's go ahead and finish this, and then we'll go home, okay? I'd rather be at church any place, I guess, when the tornado's coming through. I've been here once before. It missed us. And so we'll just praise God for it. And Christians shall be content to do no less than to reach God. I think sometimes if the communists will give their lives for the cause of communism, shouldn't we be willing to do no less to reach the world for Jesus Christ? And then the glorious church is one who is busy in their stewardship. Now, stewardship goes more than just their time. It goes through their talents and also their money. Folks, I believe we should give of our time, our talents, and our money. And I believe God loves a church that is doing that and people that are doing that. I wonder so many times about our talents. Oh, we're blessed here with so many talents, so many people doing things. God has blessed our church. And a glorious church is not only that, but a glorious church is involved in the total aspect of stewardship of their time, their talents, and their money. And then a glorious church has got a concern for lost souls. Everywhere I look, folks, in Gun Barrel, there's a lostness here. Oh, you go to the store in Walmart, you go to the store, Brookshire's, you go, everywhere you go, you see lost souls. And we need a personal witness. Our witness is what God expects us to do. No wonder he says, go tell. Go, go, go as Christians. And Christians must not be silent, but must be willing to take the gospel under any conditions in which God gives us to win someone. And listen, we win people one by one by one. And we see them come to know Jesus Christ. And it takes faith. It takes faithfulness in a church member. It takes enthusiasm. It takes perseverance to reach the lost. But it can be done. And it can be done through a glorious church. I'm so glad I'm a part of that glorious church. A consecrated church. How about you tonight? And I'll close. By faith, have you simply asked God to come into your heart? And if you've asked God, and I suppose most of us here tonight have asked God to come into our life, maybe you have received Christ as your Lord, but you haven't been consecrated as much as you want to be. You haven't been concerned about lost souls as much. You haven't been in a prayer life like you need to be. And folks, that fits all of us. We've all fallen short. Maybe you're here tonight. I don't know if we have any visitors or not. But maybe you come in tonight just out of the storm. Never know. And you're looking for a church home, a place where God rules and reigns and his word is preached. Would you come? Tom, would you come and lead us in a stanza? If you need to make a decision for Christ tonight, would you come? Okay?